place, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Re prekata maya bo sebeneka diana meke salte. E pali lebanoko basitabani. Hallelujah, sedabani halbenokosia. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful time. Hallelujah. We give the further time into your hands. I want to continue in your presence, Lord, and give the meeting into your hands. Hallelujah. We give you glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. You are an anointed worshiper. Hallelujah. Okay. Actually, what I found out is, hallelujah. Let us give clap to our God first of all, and give glory to Him for gathering us, His people, together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what I found out in the Bible is, there is nothing called as a worship leader. Actually, one person is a worshiper, and people join with him in worship. Hallelujah. So the concept that is not what I want to speak tonight about worship, but hallelujah. God, I believe God is opening a new season of worship. Hallelujah. As worship really is in spirit and in truth, where we lay down our crowns and everything we have and just give the Lord all the glory. Hallelujah. The worship does not depend on how good you can sing or anything like that. The worship depends on how is your relationship with God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that person, if he starts to worship, he actually turns into a leader. People join with him and we worship together. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe our brother Frankie is going to be used. I know that mightily. Hallelujah. He's going to be used mightily in this worship ministry. Amen. Even as I speak, the presence of God confirms it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Okay. So let's go to the Word of God. In Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter number 1. Let's start from verse number 9 onwards. Exodus chapter number 1. Verse number 9. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land." Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities Pithom and Ramses. Underline taskmasters. Hallelujah. The Bible says that because the people of Israel in Egypt were multiplying and becoming great, and Pharaoh became insecure about the people of Israel, that they are becoming so great, mighty and multiplying, that if they join with our enemies and destroy us, they become mighty than we are, and they become more powerful than we are. So let us not let them become powerful and mighty. And to stop them, what we are going to do is, what? Set taskmasters over them to afflict them. Set taskmasters. Everyone say taskmasters. Hallelujah. Well, in my time with the Lord, when I was praying once, the Lord revealed to me about taskmasters. And He showed me how the devil has put taskmasters over my life to afflict me, to not let me multiply, by the devil and by some people who carry that spirit, who become insecure looking at us. Hallelujah. And because they become insecure looking at us, thinking that, oh, let them not become bigger or mightier than we, what the devil does is, he sets taskmasters. That is our topic tonight. Oh, sorry, today. Taskmasters. Okay. Are we understanding? Taskmasters. Okay, first of all, before going into the taskmasters, we have to understand a concept in the spirit. Or a truth in the spirit, or a revelation in the spirit. The revelation is that Satan can never defeat a child of God, and Satan can never dominate a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Satan can never defeat a child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. But he knows that he cannot defeat a child of God. So what he does is, he takes the way of this taskmasters to put a child of God under bondage. He took the way of the taskmaster. Okay, first of all, as a child of God, we should know that Satan cannot defeat us. And that revelation will manifest and will be true in our lives when we realize our identity in Christ, we know our position in Christ, and we know the assignment and are working in the assignment we have in Christ. These three things are very important. If a believer understands who is he in Christ and is convicted and is always convicted, no one can change him his mind that you are this. No, he knows I am this in Christ. He knows the position he holds in the spirit in Christ. And then he knows the way, and he knows the assignment and the call and the way of God for him, particular to him, specific to him, and he walks in it. When he fulfills these three things, Satan cannot dominate that child of God. Satan cannot dominate that person. First of all, a child of God, if you are a child of God, the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 4, verse 4, that you are born of God and you have overcome the world. Let's go there. Let me give you some verses. Okay, stay with me. This is an introductory part to introduce us into the spirit of taskmasters that afflicts the people of God. Let's go to 1 John chapter number 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. A child of God, these are the identities. These are the verses that show forth the identity of who you are. You are a child of God, little children. You are of God and have overcome the world. Okay, and next few verses, it comes on to say that you are born of God in John chapter 1 John 5. So let us stick to this. It says that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So there, it's not by your strength, because you have accepted Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, Jesus himself, by his Spirit dwells in you. And he is greater than any other spirit, any other thing in the world. So by him, you are superior to any other authority. Okay, when you realize who you are in God. Okay, point number two is, you have weapons and revelations already in your hand to defeat Satan. You have what? Weapons and revelations. I don't have time to take you into verses and into revelation, but I am giving you pointers. You can pick out verses as the Holy Spirit leads you afterwards, but I am giving you just pointers, okay? So one of the verse I want to take you into is Exodus 4 verse 21. Exodus 4 verse 21. Let's go there. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. Everyone say, which God has put in my hand. So what I want to say through this verse is the wonders that is required to defeat your enemy, God has already put in your hand. God has already put in your hand. Amen. the wonders, the signs, the miracles, the authority that is supposed to be required by you to defeat your enemy is already put in your hand. Okay? Are we understanding who we are, what we have? We already have the weapons and revelations to defeat Satan. We already have it. We already have it. Okay? Third point is, your identity is not of a defeated foe, but you are more than a conqueror through Christ. You know that very well. Romans chapter 8, verse number 37. So your identity of is not even a conqueror, it's more than a conqueror in Christ or through Christ. Hallelujah. Point number four is, you are predestined. There is always already a path set for you. There is already a path set for you. There is already a destination set for you. That is, you are predestined to become like Jesus. That is the predestination. Hallelujah. God has predestined you. There is already a heavenly path. Before you were formed, before even the foundation of the world was laid, God decided your end to the beginning. God knows your end from your end to the beginning. So God has designed a pathway, and that pathway leads you to become completely like His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that He might be the firstborn among all of us. Predestination. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 29. Okay? Another thing is Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 4. Let us go to those verses quickly. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 4. 1:4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. To be holy and blameless before Him on the day of judgment. That means God has designed, God has predestined, God has already set a pathway for each one of us on which we should walk. Hallelujah. So there is an identity we have, there is a position we have, there is a pathway set for us. Second Peter, the last point is, sixth point is, Second Peter chapter number 1 verse 3. Second Peter chapter number 1 verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everyone say, His divine power has given me all things that pertain to what? Not to make you rich in the world. That pertain to life in God and godliness. For that kind of a life. For a godly life and a life in the spirit. To pertain to life and godliness through whom? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Through His knowledge. There is a knowledge bank. There is a knowledge bank. There is a source to which we have to tap into. Continue to tap into all our life. So that we may discover the keys that have been already given to us. That are required by us for life and for godliness. Are we understanding the scripture? So these are the scriptures that talk about what is our identity, what we have already to defeat Satan, what we already have God has given to us by the knowledge of Jesus Christ for life and godliness, what is the position we hold in Christ. These are the general verses. That means it applies to every believer. If you are a child of God, it applies to you. But the thing is, hallelujah, you have an identity, you have a position, you have a pathway set for you, but you are unaware of all those things. You are completely unaware of all those things because Satan cannot defeat you. But what he tries to do is, he tries to detract you, he tries to snatch away and make you unaware of your identity. He tries to make you put you in a position which is not your position in Christ. He tries to put you on a pathway, in an assignment, in a work that will make you so busy that you have no time to seek the knowledge of Christ about what pathway God has given you. What is the calling? What is the assignment for you in God? Hallelujah. Until I started to seek the Lord, hallelujah, in the secret place, and started to wait upon him till the time he speaks to me. I never knew the things that Lord had in store for me and the plan and the calling that the Lord had for me to walk in it until I started to seek the Lord diligently. Hallelujah. Until a believer, the taskmaster hold over a believer is broken. What the taskmasters do is, the taskmasters make believers so busy that they don't have time to worship. They don't have time to pray. They don't have time to seek God. The taskmasters make the believers so occupied that even a Sunday you have to go to work. You can't even go to church on Sunday. Oh my. They make you so busy. They make you so occupied with the things of the world. Sometimes there is a spirit of taskmasters. Believers are not even busy, but they will show the pastor of the church, I am so busy, I can't do anything. You know, I'm so busy. It's a busy life they create. Are we understanding? Okay, let me go ahead. I will come to that at a later stage of taskmasters. But what I want to say is, you will dominate Satan if you continue to walk in your identity, know your position, and walk in your calling, the authority the Lord has given you. You will dominate Satan. These three things. You know your identity. Now, how to know your identity? Not by reading the scripture. When the scripture comes into reality in form of encounters to you, that is when you are convicted about something. Hallelujah. Yeah, that is when you are convicted. Okay, stay with me. Let me come again. You will dominate Satan if you continue to walk in, know your identity, know your position, and walk in your calling, the authority, the assignment the Lord has given you. You will dominate Satan. Okay. But for that, for knowing your identity, Gideon was a Jew. His father was a Jewish person. They were of Israel. But yet an angel had to come and reveal to Gideon his real identity. Gideon, you know what? You are not made to thresh the wine, you know, do the threshing work here in fear. What you need to do is, you are a mighty man of valor. That is your identity, Gideon. He was convicted of that identity when it came through an encounter to him. Okay? Hallelujah. He was convicted of that identity when it came through an encounter to Gideon. Many times, in the secret place, or while you are fasting as led by the Spirit of God, you are on a fast, whatever fast, I'm not saying long fast necessarily, whatever fast, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, as led by the Spirit, and God told you, you need to seek me. The Holy Spirit is leading you, urging you to seek God. And 1 day goes, 2 days go, hallelujah. There are levels in which you rise when you seek the Lord, when you wait on the Lord. The Bible says those who wait on the Lord soar on wings like eagle. That means there are levels where you rise when you start to wait on Lord. Wait on the Lord. And there are three levels. When you rise up to the third level, that means you have entered the throne room of God. And then the word will become real to you. Are we understanding? There are first heaven and the second heaven. Okay. I think I am yet to put. No, I have put a sermon about those things where I have explained the first, second and third heavens. So when you start to wait on the Lord, there are first heaven, which is the realm of deception and lies. There is the second heaven, which is the realm of waters, marine spirits, warfare, wandering and all those things. But a believer need to continue to wait. Even if you are nothing is happening. Wait. Thoughts are coming to you. Lies are coming to you. You are distracted. Certain things are coming to you that are forcing you. Stop this fast. Nothing will happen. Several other things, wandering is happening. That means you are rising through levels. And a time will come where you will tap into the realms. Your body is on earth, but your spirit is on high. It's on the top of the mountain. And then the plans that were hidden for your life will be revealed to you. Then the suffering that you are, the problem you are having in your finances from 20 years, you went to prophets, but no one could solve it. It will be revealed, the root cause of it. The problem you have in marriage with your husband or with your wife, the problem you have with your children, the problem you are having with your ministry, everything, it's hidden there, and those ways, those keys will be revealed to you, because the Bible says everything required for life and godliness by His divine power has been given to you, but you need to soar on high to tap into those things. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people of God? It's not only I am giving you the words and you are, but you have to have encounters through which the word comes into realities. There are different kinds of encounters. The first encounters that I pray that everyone should have is word encounters. That is what is required. Word encounters. Then there are vision encounters. I am not going into detail in the encounters, okay? But I am just telling you so that you know. Word encounters, vision encounters, dream encounters, physical encounters, and encounters through other servants of God. Okay? The first and the foremost things you need to pray to have is what? This word encounters. Okay? Because the other encounters can have manipulation and it can dwindle down even as you move forward. But if you have an encounter where God speaks to you and this word, written word, comes into reality, hallelujah, comes into reality, that is something that will not leave you all your life. Word encounters. Okay, where I am speaking, the words and the promises written will become real to you, personal to you, will become real to you, specific to you, personal to you. It will not be a general verse for all believers. Lord, I am more than a conqueror in Christ. I claim it. Those things we have to do. When the word becomes real to me. Hallelujah. Listen to me. What I am teaching is what I know, and I have gone through those things. When I start to seek the Lord, there are many attacks when we go to first heaven, second heavens, that comes in our mind, that comes through dream, that comes through thoughts, that comes through satanic encounters, that comes through demonic encounters. You are seeking God here and something happens there. In your family, in your ministry, somewhere, and these things happen. Those are attacks that continue to come. Hallelujah. And when you are through the first heaven and the second heaven, okay, once, listen to me, let me tell you, I go often with the Lord to spend time, and I don't talk to anyone. So once, first day went in prayer, second day went in prayer, third day went in prayer, even after the third day, I was feeling dry. Some things were coming to my mind, but I was not feeling enough convicted that, oh, it is from the Lord. There were doubts in my mind, it is from the Lord. I was in the realm that if I am listening to it or if the mind is telling it to me, that realms on the third day. And I was struggling in the spirit. I was fighting with monitoring spirits in the room where I was, sent by some witches against me. And I recognized that, and I was fighting. There was a realm of warfare on the third day. On the fourth day, I was not able to sleep in the night. Maybe I slept for 2-3 hours and I woke up, and on the fourth day, I was telling, oh Holy Spirit, revive me. I'm feeling so dry as if I will give up. On the fourth day, I was telling the Holy Spirit, I am feeling so dry, Holy Spirit, as if I will give up, and my mind is so much attacked, and this monitoring spirit, this and that, and all those things are happening. Like Jesus, the Bible says He was tempted for all the 40 days in the wilderness. And that was my condition on the fourth day. And I was saying, Holy Spirit, revive me. Around 10 or 11 a.m. in the morning, as I was continuing to ask the Lord to revive me and to fill me. And to take the dryness away, a voice spoke to me and said to me, go to the verses that I have given you in the Bible. So I opened the Bible and I did not even see what verse to pray. So first verse that came in the Bible was Isaiah, I think chapter 55. The word that goes forth from my mouth shall never return unto me void, until and unless it accomplishes its purpose. And the Holy Spirit told me, Rahul, pray through that verse. So I took the verse and I started to pray through that verse. Lord, the word that you have spoken will never return unto you void. So then the Holy Spirit started to give me utterance. Lord, the words that you gave me, the promises you have for my life, it shall never be unfulfilled. It shall be fulfilled. Then even as I started to pray, I got a little bit push. And the next words the Holy Spirit took me to is, your gates shall be open continually, and they shall bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles. You shall be the priest. And these verses were the verses that the Lord spoke to me and gave me. And it was brought to my attention. As soon as I started to confess those words, as if a fire broke from inside of me, and I was revived, and as if my legs were not on the floor. And then when I got the flow of the Spirit on the fourth day, because of the word encounter I had. Are you understanding? Hallelujah. Words will become so real that you know God has given that word for you. It is not a general word for a believer. Hallelujah. Word encounters have kept me, will keep you, will keep every child of God on his track. Word encounters, where word become real to you. What the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That means the pathway of the Lord is lit by a light called the word of the Lord. And if you know the word, you will walk in that pathway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you know the word, the pathway of the Lord is lit by a light. And that light is the word, Hallelujah. And sometimes what happens is life takes turns and life takes you into ups and downs, where you forget and where your heart and your spirit goes out of the conviction and the consciousness of the word. And that's where you land up under the hold of the taskmasters. You start to believe in a reality which is fake. You start to believe in an identity or something about you which is not real. Because you are out of the consciousness of the words that your path has been enlightened with. And you lose your way. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The encounter you should have and you should pray for is word encounters, which will affirm you and assure you fully that you are walking in the path of the Lord. Word encounters. That is what I place. I'm not ignoring the other encounters, but I talk, you know, those of you who know me, Sister Jaya, they know that I operate in visions, I interpret dreams, but yet I concentrate on the word more because I know that is the power. Amen. Hallelujah. Word encounters. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? So what I am saying is, your identity, your position and your pathway will only come into reality in your life through encounters. For example, you see, the Bible says that when Elijah prophesied that there will be rain in Israel, actually the skies were clear and there was not at all any imprint or any sign showing that the rain will come in Israel, because the skies were completely clear and it was a bright sunny day. And Elijah had to send the servant again and again. And the servant came back with a bad news, saying, no, there are no skies. Nothing is there. Nothing is happening, Elijah, as per what you prophesied. But the Bible says Elijah again told him to go and see. Why he was operating in such a great faith? How could he operate in such a great faith? You know how? Why? Because the sound that he heard from heaven, the sound of abundance of rain, which was not in the physical but in the spiritual, it was more real to him than the physical realities he saw through his eyes. He was gripped with a word that was not in the physical, but he had heard it from the Lord. Are we understanding? When the words of this Bible will become more real to you than the situation you are seeing through your eyes, hallelujah, you will step into the realities of God that God has for you. When the word will become real for you, when the word of God, when the voice of God, you will say, oh, again and again, it's been 7 months, but I trust what you told me. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I trust on the word that you have given me, Lord. I know you have given me that word. Oh, my husband is acting up still, but I trust in the word that you have given me. He will be saved. You have given me the word. You trust on the reality of the word, of the encounter. You continue to trust because that is the pathway the Lord has set for us. And you reject the affliction of the taskmaster that they are trying to impart on you. Okay, I will come to the taskmaster. I am not yet come on the taskmaster. But are you understanding? I gave you verses about your identity. I gave you verses about your position in Christ. I gave you verses, and there are many other verses, but I don't have time to cover so many things in a small meeting. But I gave you verses about that everyone in this meeting, you have a specific pathway ordained by God. You have a specific path ordained by God. You will start discovering that path when you start to seek the Lord. Okay? When you start to seek the Lord. When you seek the Lord, what you will have is, you will have several encounters. Word encounters. That is one of the most important thing you will have. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? I have several testimonies, but I am allowed to give you some of the testimonies and not all of them. When I went to seek the Lord, I go to seek the Lord because the Lord told me, more than you, you are a minister. More than that, you are a seeker. You have to continue to seek me. That is what the Lord told me. So I am more than I am a minister of the gospel. I am a seeker of the Lord. So I have to go regularly to seek him, to seek him, to seek him, to know his mind, to know what he says, to know what he says. Most of the time I spend there. I don't minister a lot. I seek the Lord more because that is the pathway the Lord chose for me to walk on. And once when I was seeking the Lord, the first day, always it's not so flowing in the Lord. So second day, sometimes the Lord come on the second day. Sometimes the Lord will come on the 10th day. Sometimes the Lord will come on the 4th day. But what you have to do is, prepare yourself and keep yourself in a position where you are looking and waiting on the Lord, and you are in a sanctified state waiting on the Lord, and the Lord will encounter you. For those who of you who are working, it's not that you cannot wait on the Lord. You can still wait on the Lord. Dedicate a specific time. Lord, every day this time I will come to you. 15 minutes is not enough, brother, sister. Dedicate a time, at least 2 hours. I will come to you this time, just to seek you, just to know you. Do it. Even if 100 days have passed, he has not spoken to you, do it. Continue doing it. He will come. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people? Once the Lord came to me on the second day, and when the Lord comes inside my room, he will not speak much. He will say, Rahul, did you remember the prophecy my servant gave you? Now, which servant, what prophecy? So the Holy Spirit stands by my side whenever the Lord speaks to me, because I don't understand what God is speaking. So the Holy Spirit told me, Lord is talking about the prophecy a man of God from Delhi, this pastor, gave you. Then everything came to my mind like a flash, and I understood the intent of the Lord, what he was asking. And I remember that man prophesied on me that I see a mountaintop, and when you reach, your ministry will start on that mountaintop, and I see you building a Bible college on that mountaintop. Now he himself did not know what he was saying, but he was saying out of the utterance of the Spirit. So I used to think, it was 2 years back, maybe I will go to Himachal Pradesh, or maybe I will go to those mountainous regions of India and build a Bible college or some institution where I will raise up, you know, servants of God and teachers and pastors and all those things. I used to think like that. Never the vision opened for me. Never that utterance was unveiled for me. I used to think that, but yet there was not a confirmation of what the real meaning of it is. So this time on the second day, the Lord came to me and reminded me. Everything went on a flashback. I remember what he said. And then the Lord, you will not hear physical words. The Lord speaks to you is through thoughts. And then when it flashed in front of me, I realized that the Lord was telling me that the mountain is not a physical mountain but a spiritual mountain, and the top of the mountain is the end time church, is the apostolic church, where you will sit on the top and train mighty ministers of the gospel. Hallelujah. I realized, and then the Lord told me, that is what you are doing on this Zoom. Where you are sitting is a mountaintop. Oh my. Are you understanding the ways of the Lord? The ways of the Lord. I cannot comprehend it unless He reveals it to you. I'm just giving you some things of my testimonies that are allowed by the Lord to share by me. So that is how you start to. Then Micaiah, the book of Micaiah chapter 2 came into reality to me. Then Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, it says the house of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord shall be exalted on the top of the mountains, and nations shall flow to the top of the mountains. Those verses, I understood those verses is given to me. Are you understanding? Then I understood that where the 120 people gathered on the day of Pentecost, it was the top of the mountain, the most holy place it became. And the Bible says Cretans, Arabians and Mesopotamians on all those people. That means nations started to come to that place, flow to that place. That is, words. After one encounter you have with God, as per His utterance that He gave to you, that understanding will open up to you to verses that are for you, that are for your purpose. Am I able to make you understand, people? Is the Holy Spirit teaching you? Hallelujah. Those verses will come into reality to you. And you take a hold of those verses and you know and start confessing it and declaring it. Verses related to what God has called you. Word encounters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Are we understanding? A believer will realize his or her identity, his or her position, his or her calling and assignment only when they seek the Lord and are free from taskmasters. When they are free from taskmasters. Are we understanding? Okay, so let us go now to the taskmasters. These are the three things that the taskmasters will keep you away from. They will keep your conscience out of your identity. They want to keep your conscience out of your position, out of your assignment, keep you out of the ways God has ordained for you. So where we were? Exodus chapter number 2. Exodus chapter number 2, verse number 11. Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. So who were building the supply cities for Pharaoh? The children of God were laboring and building. Why? Because the taskmasters were making them do the labor. The taskmasters. I don't want to come into, because many of you are unaware about certain things in the realms of the spirit, but let me tell you, for the sake of those who are in spiritual warfare and who know things, there is something called as Freemasons, which is a secret society. Okay? And I have a lot of revelation about that, those people. And I have also come to the realization that in our city, they are the ones who have kept a track of all the churches. I have come to know that. They are the ones who are tracking pastors, who are tracking churches and holding. So this is a secret society, and their name is what? Their name is Freemasons. And you know from where the Freemasons have emerged? From here. Yes, masonry work. That was the emergence of the Freemasons, masonry work. This is not the origin, but before this, remember in Genesis chapter number 11, that under the leadership of Nimrod in Babel, people came together and started to do masonry work. They started to build a building, masonry work. And that building was supposed to reach its top to heaven and dethrone God and all. You know that. The Tower of Babel through masonry work. Here, what they are doing, the taskmasters are putting people into bondage to do mason's work. Mason's work. To build infrastructures, to build buildings, infrastructures that will be for Satan and his glory, for Pharaoh. That are the taskmasters. This is the new version in our age. They are called Freemasons. Hallelujah. And maybe many of the new believers are unaware, but though for the sake of those who are into spiritual warfare, you know what? Many of the churches are under them. Many of the famous gospel preachers who come on TV are their agents. Hallelujah. And the people, those pastors are taskmasters that hold thousands of people in their congregation in bondage to the main person. Hallelujah. Okay, let me not go into that. People will be shocked. So let me say the taskmasters, the job of the taskmasters. What is the job of the taskmaster? The job of the taskmaster is number one, to keep you unaware of your real identity and give you a wrong identity. To give you a wrong identity. First of all, the identity of the people of Israel. You know what is the identity of the people of Israel? You are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, my own special people. That is the identity. Israel is a nation of priests. It's a nation of priesthood. Hallelujah. Read the verses in Isaiah. God will tell them, you shall not work, foreigners will work for you, but you shall be priest to me. Your job is to serve me. There is a revelation about why, you know, Levi was chosen as the priesthood. I will not go into those technicals. I leave it aside. But just know that the people of Israel's, the identity of the people of Israel was to serve God, was to be priest to the Lord. That was the identity. His own special people. His nation, holy nation, to be priest to the Lord. That was the identity. But what the taskmasters did is, instead they put them in a position, in a task, in a work, where they are completely unaware of who they are. And they realize that we are no better than laborers who have to work and feed our stomach and keep us alive. Otherwise, if we will not labor, food will be taken away or Pharaoh will kill us and all those things. So they were put into they were given a wrong identity by the taskmasters. And that is what the taskmasters do. They give you a wrong identity. They make you feel that you are supposed to grow in this organization, the secular organization. And for that to happen, you have to work long hours and please your boss. You know, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to go. They will put you into a position where your identity is manipulated. You will start thinking that you are called to be the senior manager in that company, whereas that is not your identity. Your identity is something else. That identity is given to you by the taskmaster that is set over you. Are we together? Hallelujah. Secondly, they will attack your position in God. They will not let you know what you are in God. They will not let you know where you stand in God. What is your position in God? They will attack your position in God. The Israel never came to know when they were serving Egypt that they are actually a holy nation and they are called to be priests to God. Serve God. And they were not supposed to labor, but foreigners were supposed to labor for them. And they were supposed to be priests. They were not a labor class. But taskmasters made them, put them in a position of in labor. The third thing they will do is they will detract you by keeping you so busy that you don't have any time for God. They will keep you busy. The job of the taskmaster was what? To keep the laborers busy. Keep them busy. Keep them busy so that they will not think about God. They will not even think about worshiping God. They will not even think... seeking God is far away. They will not even think about doing something or thinking about God. Keep them so busy. And today there are several taskmasters ruling the lives of believers. Your job can be your taskmaster. Your boss can be your taskmaster. The wife that you got married to without asking God, that wife can be your taskmaster, dear brother. Yes, they are keeping you so busy. They are keeping you in a place that is not intended for you. They are giving you an identity that is not at all your identity that you have received from God. Let me go on to say that even pastors are taskmasters. Yes, pastors are not. Do you know, pastors are supposed to reveal the identity, the word of the Lord to people. But what they are doing is to, because Egypt is insecure, Pharaoh is insecure, that they will grow bigger than us. They are setting taskmasters over their congregation members so that they will be all time in bondage to that person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am telling you, the pattern of the church is not so as it is in our time. The pattern of the church is not so. Do you know the early church sold everything and all their possessions and brought the proceeds completely laid at the apostles' feet? That is what happened in the early church. Right? You know why that happened? That was the specific leading of the Holy Spirit for that early church. Because the early church were of one heart and one soul, every part of the body were connected to Christ and had laid down not only their life, their family, their finances, their position, everything they laid down for Christ and said, Lord, we are all yours. Everything we have is yours. So they became, that kind of a church became of one heart and one soul. And because the church was of one heart and one soul, the missionary work to reach to the nations was so vast that there were two major requirements. The number one requirement was finances, and the second requirement was intercession. Finances and intercession. So to fulfill these two things, the Holy Spirit did not let the apostles to go to a rich person to ask for money. The Holy Spirit told the apostles, these two requirements will be fulfilled by my own people who have surrendered everything to me. Ask them to sell everything they have and gather the money. And the Lord gave the apostles wisdom to distribute money accordingly. And the Bible says when they gave the money, gave all they have, neither of them lacked anything. Okay? Lacked anything. So that brought the finances for the mission work. And secondly, it brought the finances to keep everyone's needs met. And thirdly, because they gave up everything, they had nothing to do, that gave them complete 24 hours time for them to intercede for the missionary workers that were going out. That is a church. That is a church where, hallelujah. Okay, can you hear me? Okay, hallelujah. I was saying that is a church. Did you hear what I was saying about the church? That meant, so they because they had nothing now, no jobs, they completely, the church of Jerusalem gave themselves to intercession because the missionary field was vast. The whole world was open for the church of Jerusalem. Apostles from Jerusalem went out. Even one of them came to India. That's why we have come to know Jesus. That is a church that God wants to plant. A church that is not selfish but selfless. And every member of the church has given everything to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We teach and we preach and we equip till the time all the members of the body will come to the complete knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why I teach. That's why I preach. So that every part, wherever the ministry the Lord has given me, every body will come to the complete knowledge of the, will realize the ministry of the gospel we need to do. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people? Yes. But what the Lord will do is, in a church, what Satan will do in a church is, Satan will put people under the bondage of the taskmasters. Yes, and they will detract them from the ways of God. Detract them, make them so busy that you can't even, the 15 minutes the Bible you are reading, you are just reading it for the sake of reading it. You just have to read it because your pastor told. At least one of my pastor, who was my pastor, once I told the people in the church, because I was a leader in the church. Once I told people, you know, you need to read the Bible for half an hour. Someone went and complained to him, and he came to me and started to tell, oh, you, why did you say that they have to read the Bible for half an hour? No. You have to keep them. First comes natural, Rahul, then comes spiritual. So their work comes first, you know. You are teaching wrong things. I kept quiet. I tell, let it be. It's his ministry. He is doing what he is doing. Hallelujah. That is, I'm telling you, really, that is happening in more than 90% of the church. Where the pastor stays at a position and keeps himself secured and tells everyone that work. You know, when I stepped into full-time ministry, I did not have my ministry. God did not give me my ministry. He asked me to serve servants of God. I served one of the servants of God, and that servant of God used to force me so much, Rahul, take up your job. Again, take up your job. Because you are supposed to pay me tithes. Take up a job. He knew that the job I left paid me around 70 to 80,000 rupees per month. That is a good income, you know, in Indian terms for an undergraduate. So he knew that. So he told, take up that job again. He used to pray for me but why? So that I can pay him tithes. That is the mindset of the pastors. You know, no one should become a full-time minister, because if they become full-time ministers, they will stop paying me tithes. My God, taskmasters. So whenever you will come to the church, you know, they will say, Brother Frankie, I pray that your job goes well. I pray that you will get promotion. Everything that he is saying is not from the Lord. He's saying because he wants to keep you there so that you continue to be in your small knowledge and you don't rise to say that God spoke to me to leave my kindred and to go on the pathway. He does not want you to go. Taskmasters, I'm telling you the reality. Taskmasters will keep you under bondage because of their insecurity. Because of they want you to use you all your life. All your life. Hallelujah. The church is not supposed to, the same members in the same church from 20 years at the same level. No one is, what they are doing is just sitting in the church and doing some offering announcement from 20 years. No one has raised there to become an apostle, to become a prophet, to become an evangelist. What is the church doing? And the people glory in, oh, my church is becoming a mega church. The church is growing and the congregation is growing. That is not God, that is not at all God's model of a church. Huh? That is not at all God's model of a church, to transform a church into a mega church. No. A church is a church which has a global impact on the kingdoms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is changing seasons in Jesus' mighty name, because the hold of the taskmasters is breaking today, right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Okay. Are you understanding what they do, the taskmasters? Okay. Let me come quickly. What they see. You cannot automatically come into the influence of the taskmaster and start working for the taskmaster and come under. You can only come under the bondage of a taskmaster when you allow yourself to go, allow yourself to come. And there are tools that the taskmasters use. There are tools that the taskmasters use to bring people under bondage. There are two tools. And consider the order of these tools in which I speak. The first one is fear and the second one is force. The first one is fear and the second one is what? Force. Everyone say fear and force. Okay, this order, it's not force and fear, it's fear. Fear comes first and force comes second. What is fear? Let me define fear in context of the taskmaster. This fear is in the form of insecurity, unbelief and doubts. insecurity, unbelief, and doubts. Okay, listen to me. Let me give you a simple example. How many of you, there are many mothers here who have children in school and colleges. So, do you know about Baiju? How many of you know about Baiju in India? Baiju, for those, Sister Jacqueline is from other countries. So, for Baiju, Baiju is a company that offers education to children. Okay? It's a company that offers education to children. But that company is dwindling down because of some evil reasons where the company practices evil schemes to attract customers. Okay, so this company offers education. The courses it sells is from children in the kindergarten until children until teenagers who study in the colleges, all classes of students. They sell courses, and the courses is worth around about 80,000, 1 lakh 10,000. That is the cost that a normal middle class Indian family cannot afford. But yet they used to sell the courses. You know how? By using these two tools. First is fear. They will go to the parents and they will start to impart fear in them. You know how? By saying that, oh, you know, Indian parents are very competitive. They want their children to grow. They want their children to become something. So using advantage of that nature, of that mindset of the parents, the salesmen of this company will start to install fear through insecurity by saying things like, oh, we have sold courses to other 10 children in the same school your child is studying. Now they have already taken the courses. They will grow, and your child will keep on watching them that they are growing because your child did not take our course. So the competitive nature has been used to install an insecurity that, oh, if others buy this course and if we don't buy the course, they will go ahead than my children. That is the tool of fear. They get afraid already. Then there are many other techniques that the salesman will use to put fear in the parents so that they can sell their product to them and take out money. Are you understanding? That is what the taskmasters will do. Oh, if you will not work, many people are called for full-time work. They were called as apostles in their young age, 24, 25, 26. But you will see them at their 45, still working in the same company. You know why didn't they leave the work? Because of fear. Oh, if I leave my job, who will feed me? If this regular income which is not coming to me, who will do this? Who will fear, insecurity? To follow God. And if there is fear, they are able to install fear in you, insecurity in you. Oh, you cannot do all those things. You know, you have to stick to our pattern. If you will leave the church, who will recognize you? You have to stay here, you have to do this, you have to listen to me. Fear, insecurity they put in you. That is the first tool. And if you correspond, if you give in to their fear and say, oh yeah, it's true, I cannot leave this, otherwise who will take care of me? Who will recognize me? You know, this God who is calling me on a path, like Abraham was called. God told him, leave your kindred, leave your family, leave your tribe, leave everything, leave the property behind and come to a place that I show you. Who will take that risk? Who will take that risk? I have to constantly seek the Lord and, oh, I don't know, because they don't trust the Lord enough, they give in to the fear, insecurity, unbelief in God, doubts that the taskmasters are imposing on them. And when they are a victim of their fear product, they will start to bring force over them. Do what I say. Are we understanding? Do what I say. Now, since you are a victim through fear, you know that you cannot go anywhere else, but you have to stick to us, then they will start to execute force on you. Force on you. Like you are in a job in an organization. You know, they increase your pay so much, and you know, this payment, I am not going to get anywhere else. Using that insecurity of yours, they will make you work for 2 days at a stretch, and you cannot tell them anything. Are you understanding what I am saying? Fear. And when you become a victim of their fear, they will put force on you. I don't have time, but Exodus chapter number 2, when you read ahead Exodus chapter number 2, the Bible says that Pharaoh started to say Shipra and Pua. There were two midwives, you know, midwives who help in the birth of the babies. And Pharaoh told, if you find a male child, kill them. But the Bible says Shipra and Pua did not listen to Pharaoh. They did not give into the fear that Pharaoh was installing. Kill the child, you know. And the Bible says because they did not listen to Pharaoh and resisted his authority, God blessed them. Yes, the Bible says that. Therefore, verse number 20, Exodus chapter number 1, verse number 20. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew mightily. And it was so it was because the midwives feared God that He provided households for them. When you will not give to the fears and the insecurity, you will say, you leave whatever you want to do, you do. I know my God will take care of you. Take care of me. I know my God will take care of me. I don't have to be in bondage to you. I don't have to be a slave to you. My God will take care of me. Hallelujah. That is what was the attitude. They did not say Shipra and Pua, oh, we are serving Pharaoh. If you don't listen to Pharaoh, he will not give us the salary. No, they didn't say that. They knew that it was not Pharaoh, but they were not serving Pharaoh. They were serving God. You have to understand that. I am a pastor. I take care of churches. And I tell people, you are not serving me. You are serving God. Hallelujah. You are serving God. That is the model of the church. That is the model of the body of Christ. I am not a taskmaster set over you. These are the qualities of a pastor. That pastor is not a pastor. That pastor is a taskmaster. Yes, he is or she is a taskmaster who is making people feel a victim of fear. They use such things. Oh, if you will not listen to me, I will give you up to Satan. They use such expressions of words. If you will not stay under my anointing, that is not how Jesus did ministry. That are the expressions they will use, and they are inculcating insecurity. If you get afraid and if you forget, my God is my provider, my God is my shelter, my God is my comforter, my God is my Jehovah Jireh, my God is everything. He will do whatever is needed for me. If you forget and come under the bondage of the fear that a man, a taskmaster, is putting on you, you will be in bondage, and he will, whatever he says, you forcibly, you have to do that. That boss tells you, oh, you have to work today for 14 hours because you have shown an intent that you need money. You need the salary. That's why you have to continue to serve him. Otherwise, you know, oh, if he throws me out of the job, where will I pay my EMIs from? Are you seeing that? That's why a believer has to completely depend on God, like Shipra and Pua. Are we understanding? Let us pray. Our time is up. Let us pray. And let us first pray. And break the hold of taskmasters. Break the hold of taskmasters. Break the hold. If you are a victim of fear and insecurity that someone else has placed over you, oh, in Jesus' mighty name, even as you listen to this word is delivering you right now. No taskmasters over your life today in Jesus' mighty name. No taskmasters over your life today in Jesus' mighty name. Any person, any organization, anything that controls your life and you are in bondage to that thing, I break the hold of taskmasters over the lives of people in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let your people be set free. Let your people be set free from the hold of the taskmasters, and that they may worship you, that they may start seeking you. The busy life that they have, oh Lord, where they don't even find time to read your word, to pray, or to do, Lord, what you have called them to do, to seek you for the purpose you have for them. Lord, they are so busy. I break the hold of taskmasters who are making them busy. Many people are being hypnotized. Many people are being hypnotized. They don't even know they are following. They are just following because they are under a spell of the taskmasters. We break the spell and hypnotism of the taskmasters over their lives in Jesus' mighty name. Do you know, believers, many secular organization offices use spells and witchcraft to keep employees under their bondage that they may not leave. I break if any person working for an organization who is under the spell of that company, I break the hold in Jesus' mighty name. I break the hold of the taskmasters over their lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The spell and the witchcraft, bewitchment. Lord, even as Paul said to the church of Galatians, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, dear? Who has bewitched you? Because they were under a bewitchment spell where they started to obey laws of circumcision, Jewish traditions, so on and so forth. Oh Father, in Jesus' mighty name, bewitchment by so-called servants of God, bewitchment by secular companies over their lives, bewitchment by family members, bewitchment by relatives, bewitchment by friends, Lord, who have set taskmasters over their lives, today be broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. Be broken by the blood of Jesus. Be broken in the name of Jesus. Set thy people free today. Set thy people free today to worship thee in the name of Jesus Christ. And even as they become free, I pray the realities of God, the blessings of God will start to enter their life and start to manifest in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, that true identity will be restored in Jesus' mighty name. They will be restored to their position. They will start walking in the call of God, not as a slave, but as a free man under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, Pharaoh and the taskmasters, I command you, a Moses has risen and you have to let the people of God go. Let them go. Let them leave in Jesus' mighty name. Take off your hands from your people, from the people of God. Take off your hands from the people of God in Jesus' mighty name. Every hold of Pharaoh, every hold of taskmasters, be loosened in the name of Jesus Christ. I loosen it in Jesus' mighty name, and let your people come out, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, thank you, Lord. I pray for the points, for some points, Lord. I pray for people who are sick in this group, Lord. Oh Father, I pray for everyone who is sick, Lord. Everyone who is going through medical complications, Lord, weaknesses or some kind of sicknesses, Lord. Every spirit of infirmity, every spirit of disease, every pain, every discomfort, I rebuke it out of the bodies of people in Jesus' mighty name. Sometimes it is medicines which the medicine is the taskmaster. Sometimes the doctor is the taskmaster. People are so dependent on the medicine. People are so dependent that they cannot live. That thing is the taskmaster. That doctor is the taskmaster. And I break that bondage over their lives right now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I release healing. In Jesus' mighty name, they don't need any medicines, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, the power, oh Lord, that is released by your stripes is enough, I declare today, and it will heal them completely in Jesus' mighty name, Father God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Lord, for other needs, for people have come and they have needs in their lives. I pray certainly what is required for their lives is already been given to them. Hallelujah. By your divine power, everything required for life and godliness is been given to you. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it by the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Savior. Receive it. Tap into those mysteries. Tap into those solutions that are hidden to solve your problems. Tap into those to those plans of God, and whatever is required for you, needed for you, is already being given to you in Jesus' mighty name. Just receive it by faith and start to seek God for it to manifest in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Bless everyone, Lord, having different kinds of needs.